Welcome. It is Christmas Eve, and we welcome you tonight to our live stream Christmas Eve presentation here at Blue Mountain Community Church. We had hoped to be live and in person with our drama team and our full worship experience that always is awesome and leaves us breathless, but as we've often said this past year, even our best laid plans sometimes have to be set aside. But I want to invite you to enjoy something completely different tonight. And I want to invite you into the spirit of this night we call Christmas Eve. I want you to have a little fun. So just sit back and relax. Turn up your fireplace. I invite you to join me from your living room. Gather around your TVs and your computer screens and enjoy an old-fashioned and a little jazzy Christmas concert that God has given to me for such a time as this. We've all sat around our TVs and watched people like Ben Crosby and Dean Martin give their Christmas specials. Well, tonight, this is Pastor Ted's Christmas special presentation to our Blue Mountain Community Church family. So sit back and relax. You might want to sing along, even dance a little if you'd like. After all, you're in your living room. No one's watching. And just join in. But for me, Christmas is a time of nostalgia, a time when memories of Christmas past flood into my mind. I have wonderful memories of growing up in central Pennsylvania, specifically coming into the town of Sunbury. From the top of the hill on Route 61, as a six-year-old boy now 50 years ago, seeing the light stream down through the town all at once from that hill, it was breathtaking. Lights and garlands streamed across the street from light post to light post all the way through town, and in the middle of each garland presentation was the words, "Merry Christmas." From that vantage point, I remember you could see all the way through town, all the way down to the town park, almost, where I remember there was a stall where they kept the reindeer and where Santa Claus was supposed to come on Christmas Eve. I remember the excitement of running up and down the streets in Sunbury, first of all to check out the Five and Dime store, where all the greatest toys were displayed in the front windows. Back then, you did window shopping. There wasn't such thing as malls. Across the streets, we'd go to Newberry's and Woolworth's, and then up the street, we would run to Sears and Roebuck catalog store. I remember as a boy, looking through the catalog before Christmas, circling what I wanted and hoping that Mom and Dad would order the Christmas presents in time. Back then, it took 6 to 8 weeks for the stuff to arrive. There was no such thing as Amazon Prime. Another memory that I remember is the green stamp store. How many of you remember green stamps? Every gas station and every grocery store checkout, they would give you green stamps. You'd take them home, and my mom would let us boys take turns licking the back and putting them in the books. I don't think they had self-stickers back then. We had to lick them and put them in the book, and I remember we took turns putting them in the book. But at Christmas time, we would take these books full of stamps and go to the store and cash them in for awesome family Christmas presents. Listen, can you hear it? Can you hear the car radio playing the nostalgic songs of Christmas, songs by the Carpenters and Ben Crosby and Dean Martin? Let me take you back to memories of Christmas past as I play Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Thank you.
invite you to put another log on the fire. Can you smell them? Can you smell the chestnuts roasting on the open fire? Okay, kids, this one is for you. I have a couple little instructions here. Mom, grab a plate of Christmas cookies. I'm going to play a medley of four Christmas songs, children's songs. Every time your kids get the answer to the name that tune, the kids get a cookie. Is that a deal? Join in, adults as well. You're welcome to join in. This is a medley of four Christmas songs. If you guess the song right, take a cookie. Are you ready? I'm not. I got to change horns. Here we go. Thank you. Did you get all four? Number one was Jingle Bells. Number two, Deck the Halls. Number three, Oh Christmas Tree. Did anybody get number four? It's the hardest one of them all. Here We Come a Carolin. Which kind of leads me into more memories of my Christmas past. I remember growing up in the country, going to a little country church in Augustaville, Pennsylvania. And I remember one of the highlights of Christmas in that church was the kids would gather with their parents, and the teenagers and the college and career group would gather, and we would all go out, jump in cars and vans and all go out and Christmas carol to the shut-ins. We'd always give them a tin of homemade cookies, and it was so special to see how much joy we brought to their hearts and to their faces at Christmas time. And then after we were all done, we'd head back to the church. We'd eat Sloppy Joes, hot chocolate, and homemade cookies. All that the homemade cookies that were left, we ate them up. And it was a great time. But next I'm going to play several traditional Christmas carols. I invite you to sing along if you can. They are a little jazzy. So if you can't sing, go ahead and dance. The first one is in big band swing style, O Come All Ye Faithful. Okay, adults, it's your turn to name that tune. Here's a hint. This glorious song of old happened at midnight. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold, peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. See if you can guess what the title of that song is. Thank you. This next Christmas carol is probably one of my favorites, and I think it's because it takes me back in time to when my oldest daughter was just probably 2 or 3, 4 years old, and it was her favorite Christmas carol, and I can still remember her singing Silent Night. The only problem was she didn't have her front teeth, so it's very difficult to sing Silent Night without front teeth. And Silent Night, this is not the same. And I just remember with such joy her singing Silent Night over and over again at Christmas time. Silent Night. Here's another name that tune opportunity for a cookie. This one, the hint is it's a child on Mary's lap that's sleeping, whom an angel greets with angel sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Name that title. What was the name of that? What child is this? Did you get it right? Did you get a cookie? Well, this next one is, he needs no introduction. We all know it. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world. Christmas time. It's a time of celebration, a time when we develop wonderful memories as we look back. Christmas time is a time when we gather together with our families and friends and sit around tables full of food. And my guess is that we probably eat as many calories between Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's as we do the rest of the year. Christmas time is a time of exchanging gifts. It's a time when we give the biggest gifts, that 75-inch high-definition plasma flat screen with theater surround sound. Hint, hint. It's also a time where we have fun and give silly gifts like elephant gifts that have really no meaning at all, except you really don't want to end up with it. You want to pass it on to someone else. But what's all the hoopla about? The Apostle Paul gives us a hint in 2 Corinthians 2:9. He says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." We celebrate because of God's indescribable gift that he's given to us. That brings us hope and light in the midst of darkness. It brings us joy in the midst of our sadness. It can bring love that dispels all of our frail weaknesses and exchanges it for the eternal in our lives. The gift, of course, is God's Son. The Apostle Paul also said in Galatians 4:4, "At the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, whose name, according to the prophet Isaiah, would be Emmanuel, God with us. His presence is with us." So Jesus comes as a gift wrapped for us in Old Testament prophecy. Throughout all of the Old Testament, you'll find literally hundreds of specific prophecies concerning Christ's first coming alone. There's no way that one man could ever fulfill all the details of those prophecies, except God divinely moved mountains to bring it about. Jesus came to us wrapped in prophecy that prepared the way for his coming. Just to read a few in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, 700 years before Christ would come, these words were spoken by the prophet, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel." Later on in chapter 9, verse 6, he says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Jesus comes to us wrapped as a gift in Old Testament prophecy. He also comes to us wrapped in history. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 or 4 that at the fullness of time, Christ would come. The prophet Daniel, 400 years before Christ came, would prophetically announce the exact kingdoms that would rise and fall before the Messiah would come and then be cut off. Jesus not only comes to us wrapped in prophecy and history, but he comes to us wrapped in mystery. He's the mysterious God-man. God literally became visible in human form. Paul describes it in Philippians 2, "Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to or grasped or taken advantage of. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross." The co-eternal, co-existence, co-equal one left heaven to become man. John declares, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the one whose word created all that is, by the power of his word spun all the galaxies into place and created all the complexities of life here on earth, finally, as the Bible foretold, walked among us. The Word was made flesh and walked among us. When God finally did decide to make a great announcement of the coming of his Son, he sent a multitude of angels out into the countryside to announce the good news. He didn't send them to kings or noblemen. He sent them to lowly shepherds who were out in the fields watching their flocks by night. Picture it. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 says, "An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them," that's the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" And then the angel was interrupted by a multitude of angelic hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom his favor rests." And then, poof, just as quickly as they came, they were gone. And there their shepherds were looking at one another. And it says, it came about that when the angels had gone away into heaven, the shepherds, probably sitting around a campfire in the dark, looking up at the sky still, began to say to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." There was no doubt among the bunch, no unbelief. There was no one who said, "Oh, I don't believe that. You guys go ahead." They went in haste, it says. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And I believe these shepherds, as they went in haste, probably danced and sang that tune, that whatever the angel sang or said, I'm sure they were dancing, kind of like David danced when he took the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He danced with all of his might, and I'm sure these shepherds, like David, were dancing. And I believe they sang a song maybe similar to what I'm going to play, my version of "Angels We Have Heard on High." But this passage closes in verse 17. It says, "They, the shepherds, made known the statement which had been told to them about this child." They had went around telling everyone about what God has done and what they had seen. That's why the Christmas story is to be repeated from God's word time and time again, year after year, because it's the only way that men and women and children will hear of the great gift of God and his gift wrapped in prophecy, history, mystery, and love, his son. He has come down to earth, and we're invited to come just like the shepherds did. The gift has arrived, the gift strangely wrapped, silently delivered. Let's worship him tonight with excitement, exuberance, as the shepherds probably did, as they sang or spoke, as the angels did, "Angels We Have Heard on High." As we close our Christmas service tonight, we've thought back nostalgically over God's past blessing upon our lives as we remembered many of the wonderful Christmases of the past. We've looked forward to tomorrow when we will give gifts to one another that only symbolize God's greatest gift first given to us. As we celebrate the greatest gift ever given, God's Son, who not only was born to us a man, more importantly, he came and lived his life perfectly. In obedience to the Father, he died a sacrificial death on the cross to take our place, that we might experience eternal salvation and hope. As we receive God's gift, we have great hope, eternal hope. Maybe you've joined us here tonight, and you realize you've never received the greatest gift ever given to man into your heart, Jesus invites you to receive him tonight as Savior and Lord. Through his grace and mercy, to receive the forgiveness of sins and his grace, he invites you to invite him into your heart as Lord and Savior. And I'd like to just ask you to bow your heads. And if you have never done that, I encourage you to, by faith, accept this free gift that God has given of sins forgiven and hope of eternal life. I'm going to ask us just to bow our heads and let's pray together tonight. Father God, we thank you for giving to us this indescribable gift of your only Son. For your word tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. O Lord Jesus, we thank you for leaving the right hand of the Father to come down to save us from our sins and the curse of death. Holy Spirit, we ask that you move upon anyone here tonight that has heard the good news for the first time and responded by faith to receive that gift of salvation. Lord, we pray this Christmas, we ask your blessing upon our lives to give us your presence. We ask you to bless our homes with your grace, that we might take the story of redemption into our world. This Christmas season, we pray that we will have opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in him that we have life and life everlasting. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In closing, I'd like to invite you to sing along with me. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Thank you for joining me tonight. Merry Christmas and have a good night. I invite you to join us on Sunday at 8:45 for our live stream service. We'll be looking ahead to the experiencing Christmas peace that drives away our fears from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Hope to see you then. Join us, and Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful night. Good night.